Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, and I ask that you would speak to us today through these words. I ask this in your name. Amen. Please be seated. A shepherd was looking out after his sheep one day in a remote area and near a deserted road, and all of a sudden a guy pulls up in a Porsche. And he gets out, and he's dressed in an Armani suit. He has Dolce & Gabbana sunglasses. He has Bruno Mali shoes and a Rolex watch. And he gets out, and he says to the shepherd, if I could tell you how many sheep you have in your flock, will you give me one of them? The shepherd looks at the guy and then looks at the sheep, and he says, well, okay. So the guy gets out his laptop, and he puts it on his car, and he logs into the NASA website. He taps into his GPS and he pulls out his, he goes through all of his various Excel files with all the logarithms and other things on it, and finally he prints out a report on his portable printer. And so he's looking at the report and he says to the shepherd, you have exactly 1,895 sheep. The shepherd said, wow, that's amazing. Well, go ahead and take one of them. So he climbs over the fence and grabs an animal and takes it and puts it into his Porsche. And before he takes off, the shepherd says, if I can tell you what your profession is, will you give me back my animal? And the guy says, okay. The shepherd says, well, you're a professional consultant. The guy says, you're right. How did you know that? And the shepherd said, well, it's very easy. First of all, you came here without being invited. Secondly, you had me pay for something for information I already knew. And thirdly, you don't know anything about my business. Now, may I please have my dog back? You and I think we might know a lot about being a shepherd. But actually, being a shepherd is a very difficult job, and it takes a lot of years of training to be a good shepherd. And in fact, many shepherds pass on their tradition to their sons to follow in their footsteps. And so I found it interesting today that Jesus used that image, that figure of speech of the shepherd, to identify himself as the good shepherd, as a shepherd. And so if you'll turn in to your gospel lesson today, John chapter 10, again that's on page 1666, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and he's trying to tell them that they have been searching for the Messiah, for the way to get to heaven, for the gate to get into heaven, and that he is that gate. He is the one who has access to the Father. And so he's telling them that they have been looking for the long-awaited Messiah, and that they've been trying to get into heaven, but they've been going about it all the wrong way. And so he says to them in verse 1, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, for they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus was talking about the fact that there had been many that had come before him that had claimed to be the Messiah. There are many that would come after him that would claim to be the way to heaven. They would claim to have the path of salvation. And so Jesus is saying those people are really thieves and robbers. They're really robbing the souls of people, because the only true way to get to heaven is through me. I am the gate of the sheep. The sheep he was referring to are people, us as people. We sheep, in a sense, are like those that really are not the smartest creatures in the world. And he says he is the shepherd of the sheep. It's interesting, in the Old Testament we read that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him, the shepherd of the sheep, the iniquities, the sins of us all. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, if you're trying to earn your way to heaven, you're going about it all the wrong way. The way to get to heaven is come through the gate, through the gate that I am. I am the door of the sheep, the gate of the sheep. You come to heaven through me. Jesus is saying that his sheep listen to his voice and they follow him. We listen to his voice and we follow him. Why did you come to church this morning? May I suggest that it's because you heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come to church. Now, it may not have been an audible voice. Certainly, it was probably some way in which Jesus indicated in one way or another that you needed to come to church today. There are some here who are husbands who might say, well, I didn't come. I only came because my wife made me come. But in reality, your wife probably heard the voice of Jesus and responded to that, and you responded to her. So we're glad you're here anyway today. Some parents baptize their children as infants because they heard the voice of Jesus saying that he wanted the little children to come to him. So they bring their children to come to be baptized, to enter into that new life in Christ from the very beginning of their consciousness, if possible. It's important for us to hear the voice of the shepherd as he speaks to us. There once was a shepherd who lived in the Scottish Highlands, and he would often take his young daughter out to with him as he watched the sheep. And she became enthralled by his shepherd's call that he would give to the sheep as they would follow him wherever he would lead them. And she grew to love that call of the shepherd. Well, she grew up to be a very beautiful young woman, and she decided that she wanted to go off to the big city to begin her new life. And so she went off to Edinburgh in Scotland, and she would write back to her parents, as kids in those days did. They would write letters to their parents to let them know how they were, and so she would do that on a weekly basis. But after a while, the letters stopped. And so the shepherd father began to hear rumors that his daughter had fallen in with the wrong crowd, that she had been led astray by some corrupt people in the city. And so she also heard that one of the guys from the village had gone to Edinburgh and had accidentally run into his daughter, and she acted like she didn't even recognize him. So he came back and told the shepherd this, and he decided that he was going to put on his shepherd outfit, and he was going to go into the city to try to find her. And so he did. So he went up and down the city. He went to all the taverns. He went to the different shops of the city, and couldn't find her anywhere. And so he was greatly discouraged, and he decided that he was just going to go home and forget about it. But then he remembered how much his daughter loved the shepherd's call that he used to make. So he decided to give it one more try. He went down a street where many of the houses were dilapidated and falling down, and he began to call out with his shepherd's call. Many of the people looked at him, thought he was crazy, but he continued on until finally he reached a house in which he didn't know, but his daughter was inside, and she heard his shepherd's call, and her eyes brightened, and she stood up, and she ran out of the house and ran right into the arms of her father, her shepherd father. This story is a powerful story, but it reminds us that the shepherd is calling, and if we come to him, we come to hear his voice, then we will receive him back. He will receive us back the way that he wants us. The shepherd took his daughter home and reintroduced her to God and helped her to begin a new life of purity and morality. How does the good shepherd speak to us, you might wonder? How does the good shepherd speak to us? Well, the main way that the good shepherd speaks to us is through his word, through the Bible. There was a time in my life when I was really wondering what God was up to. It didn't seem like any of the plans that I had were working out. And so I was praying and asking God for direction, and nothing seemed to be happening. And I just couldn't figure out what God was up to. And I thought, you know, maybe I was missing something, or I was missing his plan. And I just began to wonder if he had a plan for me at all. I began to get anxious and worried. And at that time, I was reading through what's called the one-year Bible, which divides up the Bible into three different passages along with a psalm. And you can go through the Bible in a whole year by reading this one-year Bible. And the passage I happened to be reading that day was from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And when I read that passage, it was as if God said to me that, you know, don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't try to figure out everything that's happening. Don't try to always answer the question, why is this happening? Just trust in me, and I'll make sure that I lead you in the way that you are to go. And that really helped me quite a bit during that time of confusion. So God speaks to us through His Word. And also the Good Shepherd speaks to us, I believe, through His Holy Spirit. This past week, a group of four of us who were at the Revive Texas training session on Wednesday, I went out and I was the driver of the car, and we prayed about going out to find somebody with whom we could share our faith. And so we started out, and we were told initially to go to a certain church on Azle Avenue, and we went there and we prayed for the pastor and prayed for the congregation, and then we got back in the car and we asked the Lord to direct us where we were to go. And so I was driving down the street and I felt led to pull into in front of a convenience store that was attached to a laundromat. And so we pulled up there and a couple of the people got out one side of the car, and I got out and I went up to this guy who was standing in front of the store. And I asked, is there anything, we're out kind of out here praying for people and that sort of thing, is there anything I could pray for you for? And he began to share with me about his problems that his sister was going through. So I prayed for his sister and for her concerns there, his concerns for her. And then I gave him this bracelet that I'm wearing here. It has different scripture references on it. I gave him a bracelet and said, this is kind of a reminder of our prayers together. And then I asked, would you mind if I kind of showed you what, talked about what this bracelet means? And he said, sure. So I began to take him through the various Bible passages that are on this particular bracelet, which really outlined the plan of salvation. So as I shared with him more about Christ, he began to get more and more interested. As I was sharing with him, a couple of the other people that got out of the car were going across the street. And there was a big argument that erupted between a couple. And this woman was beating this guy with a stick. And so he grabbed the stick away from her. He started beating her. And so one of the men of our group named Eddie started running toward him. And as he ran toward him, that guy just stopped. And he came and he started toward Eddie. And I thought they were going to get into a fight. And so somehow Eddie started talking to him, and the guy calmed down, and he sat on the curb together. And as they were talking, the guy turned to Eddie and said, what are you guys doing here? This is a dangerous part of town. You shouldn't be here. And Eddie said, we're not worried. Jesus is with us, and he'll protect us. So don't worry about it. So the guy got up and he walked away, and he walked toward a park that he was, and he just tried to get away from Eddie, I guess. And so Eddie started following him. Pretty soon Eddie lost him. Wherever the guy went, he didn't see where it went. And later on, the guy came back. And so Eddie started talking to him again and started talking to him about the Lord. And the guy began to open up. And they made arrangements to meet later on to talk more about the plan of salvation with him. And while we were doing this, one of the ladies of our group began to talk to another lady that was a single mother that was just walking down the street. And this single mother was having all sorts of financial problems. She was having trouble with her raising her children by herself. And so we prayed for her, and I felt led to give her some money and to help out. And she just astonished that somebody would care for her in that way. All of these things happen because we listened to the voice of the Good Shepherd who told us to stop there. The Lord wants to speak to each one of us in many different ways, I believe. But I think the problem sometimes is that we don't listen. We often mask things by turning on various types of noise, whether it be the TV or the radio or the MP3 player or whether it be iTunes or whatever. We tend to block out all the other things and just kind of cover everything over with noise. But God wants us to, I believe, to spend some time being quiet, seeking to listen, to hear His voice. As we listen to His voice, we begin to hear it more and more in our lives, I believe. Sometimes God speaks to us through a still small voice, that voice of the Spirit speaking within us. I remember many years ago, I was wondering about our church's finances, and I was afraid that maybe we might have to close the doors of the church. So I began to pray and really ask the Lord, what can I do? How can we resolve this? And it was almost as if the Lord put an impression on my mind which said, I got this. Don't worry about it. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of this. And it was as if a weight was kind of lifted off of me. I began to realize that God was going to take care of this situation. It was really an amazing thing because it just reminded me how great is our God. So God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through that still small voice, much like Elijah heard when Elijah encountered God, and God told him to go to Mount Horeb, and there you will encounter me there. And so it says that Elijah went to the mountain, and there was a great wind, and the wind destroyed some of the mountain. And then there was an earthquake, and the earthquake destroyed some of the mountain. But it says God wasn't in the wind, God wasn't in the earthquake, but God was in a still small voice that spoke to Elijah. And I believe that that still small voice still speaks to us today if we're willing to listen and if we're willing to pay attention to what He says. God also speaks to us through other people. God was speaking to the Hellenistic Jews through Stephen, the martyr, as he told them the gospel message. It says that they heard it, but they didn't want to hear it. They closed their ears to it, and they began to take him outside the city and stone him to death. There are sometimes when God speaks to us and we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what He says. But when we choose to hear what He says and follow what He says, when we follow sometimes the advice and the information we receive from others, sometimes God can use that to speak to us as well. Father Chuck Irish was put in charge of a very small Episcopal church right out of seminary. He didn't have any training or anything, but he felt responsible for all the people in his congregation. He didn't realize how heavy that responsibility was until he began to feel a lot of pressure in his life. And finally, he decided to go to a counseling group. And as he was at that counseling group, the leader of the group asked him this question: where would you like to be instead of here? And he immediately, something broke within him, and he began to cry uncontrollably. And he realized that the ministry was just overwhelming him. And so his daughter came to him later that day, and he told her about what had happened. And she said, well, there's a couple that run my Youth for Christ group, and maybe you can talk to them. So he decided that he would talk to them. And as he talked to them, he saw in them a joy and a peace that he didn't have. And they described for him an experience that they had called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and their lives were changed. And he said, man, that's what I want. So he went home that night and he went into his church, which was all dark, and he knelt down at the altar rail. And there he said, I committed my life to Christ again. I just surrendered everything to Him. And I said, if you're there, if you could just give me a sign. And he began to praise God. And as he began to praise God, words began to come out of his mouth that he didn't recognize. And as he was praising God, he said, it felt great. It felt like I was really connecting with God. And then he said, for the first time, he really felt a sense of peace that he had never had before. He no longer was he overwhelmed by his ministry responsibilities. Father Irish had listened to someone else and had followed their advice and had been blessed by God because of that. I want to encourage you this week to begin to practice listening for the voice of God as He speaks to you. Perhaps through His Word, perhaps through that still small voice, perhaps through someone else. And then take note of what He says to you through that vehicle, whatever it may be. Then write it down so that you'll remember what He said. Then begin to take a step of faith and do what He says. Begin to take a step of faith and to act on what He might say, or to believe something that He asks you to believe, or to trust in Him in a way that you might not have trusted in Him. Perhaps He may speak to you by calling you to go up to a stranger and begin a conversation with them. Maybe He might call you to get in touch with someone on the phone that you haven't talked to in a while. Or maybe He might call you to someone that is going through a very difficult time in their life, and it happens to be an experience that you've gone through in your life, and you're able to help them and to share things with them that would be of great benefit to them. But most importantly, the thing that's important for us is to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And as we begin to recognize that voice more and more, as we begin to draw closer to Him, Then we begin to experience what he talks about in verse 10, when he says that the thief, Satan in other words, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest extent, have it abundantly. God wants for us to enjoy the abundant life that he has in store for us on this earth. But we can only do that to the degree that we draw close to the Good Shepherd and seek to hear his voice and follow where he leads us. There was an old man and a young man who were on a stage, and they were asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. And as the young man got up, he had been trained in dramatics. He was a very skilled public speaker. And so he said, he recited the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as he finished the psalm, the crowd rose and applauded him for a long time. When they finished applauding, they sat down, and the old man got up and he began to walk with his cane up to the microphone. And then he began to recite the 23rd Psalm with a very frail, weak voice. And yet as he recited it, the crowd was silent. And when he finished, they didn't rise in applause. They just stood there. They just sat there silently, allowing the words of the psalm to penetrate their hearts. Some of them were crying. Some of them were deeply moved by his reading. And so the young man got up and he said to the crowd that were gathered there, "You know, you stood and applauded when I read the 23rd Psalm, but you didn't say anything. You didn't applaud when this man recited the 23rd Psalm. And you know why? Because I know the Psalm, but he knows the shepherd of the Psalm." And really, that's what we're talking about this morning, is do we know the shepherd of the Psalm to the degree that he touches our life, that he leads us and guides us, that he speaks to us? Some of you here may not have ever invited the Good Shepherd into your life. Today he wants you to do that. Many of us have already done that, but maybe we stop listening. Maybe we stop listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I would encourage you to begin that process of listening, even today. You'll be amazed at how God, the Good Shepherd, will speak to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our Good Shepherd, that you know us each by name, and that you desire to speak to us, and that you do speak to us regularly. Give us ears to hear what you have to say. Give us the ability to do what you call us to do. Give us the boldness to believe what you call us to believe. And ultimately, Lord, help us to draw closer to you and really to rely and depend upon you as our Good Shepherd. We ask this in your name. Amen.